From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name's Carr with Keon. Keon, how's your week?
Oh, yeah, it's good.
It's funny how the whole that side is all yellow.
What side is all yellow?
Your side is all yellow. Look, it's on the screen.
Oh, but it's not all yellow.
Your hat's yellow. The hat right there is yellow.
Is your vision blurred?
It's just all yellow. Do you ever just walk to work and play Coldplay's Yellow?
No.
And it was all yellow. You know that song? Like, you know that song?
No.
By Coldplay?
I probably would if I heard it. If it was a pop.
It's just about
song.
Yellow. Yeah. No. It's just about the color yellow. Okay. How was your week?
Oh, it was good. You know, just having fun out here, watching my heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
Not listening to songs when I come into work. Stuff like that.
You got a very spicy news list this week.
Do we?
Yeah. A lot of stuff is happening. The world is how would you say? The world is collapsing in on itself, I feel like.
Collapsing?
Yeah, dude.
But how does a flat earth collapse?
We'd have to ask Ben Worman for that.
Oh,
bro. He's the only flat earther in Bitcoin. Who else is a flat earther? It's just Ben.
You like gave his full name. It's like a legal name.
That's his name on Noster.
Oh, okay. It's like, damn. The last Anyways, name though, that's like
yeah, I like Ben. It's just I don't agree with him on the flat earth thing. That's just kind of weird.
I've never talked to him about it, but I like people with things that I don't believe in, things that I don't believe. It's fun.
Yeah.
Makes the world more fun.
Yeah. If you've never seen this crazy show, we cover the top three stories on stacker.news. What is it called again?
I think we're thinking about changing it. I think I'm gonna change it to
24-hour party. Club or something.
That's what you call it.
That's what I don't know the name of it. I don't know.
Current tagline is 24/7 Bitcoin meetup on a website. But we're thinking about changing it to Money as the Moderator. Yeah, bro. I think that one's good. So that's probably what we'll go with. But
I think you guys are overthinking.
Paul Graham. No, I don't think so. I think that makes probably the most sense so far. We'll get there. We'll iterate to it. But I think Proving Money as the Ultimate Moderator is probably like the average tagline to pull someone in. That's our next iteration, I think, of the tagline.
Yeah. All
right.
Front page of Bitcoin. I think that works pretty good, but
it just doesn't mean anything. Like,
I don't know. I don't know any other site that covers all the Bitcoin topics like that.
Bitcoin news. I know you're a fan of them, so
I guess, yeah.
Why aren't they the front page of Bitcoin?
I guess they could be. There you go.
So you need something that like no one else can say. If you just say something that anyone else can say, then what's the point of even saying it? Like,
just call it the place where Wumble picks.
Yeah, well, that's unique. I mean, at least no one else could say that.
Speaking of Wumble, he posted a lot of videos this week. The most popular one last week was the Let Them Eat Slop. I don't know if you remember that when we talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah, Let Them Eat Slop. That was the most popular one.
That's pretty good.
We're going to jump into the top three stories right now. The number three top story of the week is on the economics of peer-to-peer. I tried Vexel. This is from Den, 13 comments, 12,000 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, it looks like Den was in Prague, and he wanted to try out Vexel, which is a peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading app. It looks like you know, sort of like some of the digital versions that we've covered on this podcast, like RoboSats. You partner up, you find someone who wants to do the other side of the trade. In Den's case, he was selling Bitcoin for fiat because he wanted Czech dollars. And so he went on Vexel and found someone who would give him Czech dollars for Bitcoin. And then they agreed on the trade and arranged to meet the next day. And so Den covers that experience and, you know, why it kind of sucked and then why it was kind of worth it. and it kind of sucked mostly because it was pretty inefficient. They had to, like, relative to him going on to, like, you know, I guess, I don't know, some local exchange where he KYC'd or whatever, and I don't, or like he went to a in-person kiosk where they KYC'd him. He had to like arrange, he had to wait for another party or find another party who wanted to do it. And there was a small spread on that, but the party collects a little bit more money. Then there's also like all the fees of him transferring the money to the person. Anyway, there are a number of inefficiencies with peer-to-peer markets, which are another form, like a, in economics, this whole category of things called transaction costs. But
she's trying to sneak in the scene. You can just move this one. There.
Yeah. We're just,
there it goes.
Here we go. Look at that. We got an all black covey on the scene. Yeah. So he covers it. And I guess the guy, like, didn't jog from his hotel 20 minutes to meet the guy. And then the guy had, I think, was like commuting on his way from work or something and had to pull off the freeway to, you know, meet him. And you're like meeting a stranger.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, there's issues with it, but people are more trustworthy, I think, than not in general. So especially people who are dealing with Bitcoin stuff.
Pretty cool stuff. But, yeah. Top comment was from Scoresby. He said, this is a great write-up. Having experience with a few different ways to buy BTC peer-to-peer. My experience aligned with yours. Often it feels like an all or nothing game. Yep. And I feel like meetups still work for that situation. But
yeah, you could definitely do this.
That's how we did it back in the old days.
Yeah.
Cool. Jump into the number two top story, which is also the number one top story. This is, I guess, should we go the other way since it's like backwards?
Yeah, either way is
fine. Okay, so basically situation in Venezuela by B57, 107 comments, January 3rd. We'll cover the other one once Keon goes through this. Keon, what's going on out there in Venezuela?
Well, I want to start by saying I'm not a big, like, political news guy.
Neither am I.
And
I just barely found out this was going on today.
Even less so a geopolitical news guy. But I definitely knew this was going on because we were talking about it on Stacker News and I saw a little bit elsewhere. But I think what happened was the Trump administration unseated Maduro. So the dictator in Venezuela, who B57 has covered quite a bit, some posts from the last election. There. Yeah. So I guess they invaded Venezuela specifically to arrest Maduro, and Maduro is now awaiting trial in the United States for, I think, narco trafficking crimes, I think is what he's accused of. You know,
is this a picture of or the video of?
Yeah, so this is just, you know, sort of demonstrating a little bit of chaos inside of Venezuela. So people are uncertain about Venezuela's future now because their dictator has been removed and replaced with, I think, the vice president from his own administration. So likely another kind of, if Maduro is crooked, replaced with a crooked vice president. So people aren't really sure what to expect. This is them waiting in line to like stockpile on drugs and food, like prescription drugs and food.
Mm-hmm. Line's pretty long.
Yeah, they don't know, you know, they don't know what's going to happen. Maybe there's riots. Maybe everything gets destroyed. Maybe. Who knows? Who knows what comes next?
Pretty calm, though. Looks pretty calm.
It's what they said. Yeah, they said they expected riots, but there were no riots. But I guess over and then the next post, they kind of go into it. There's
okay. So let's move over to that one here.
This is, you know, basically declaration of I think martial law.
This was on January 6th, right? This got posted.
Yeah. It was something where they've basically mobilized the army.
Wow.
And they are, I guess, trying to bring order. I don't know where there
is was. That whose army is that?
I assume Venezuela's.
Oh, okay.
I don't actually know though. And I guess there are like checkpoints. Checking to make sure that there's no one dissenting. like political enemies of Maduro, people who are who have been you know, celebrating the capture of Maduro, are getting imprisoned and stuff. So there's like loyalists who are still in the country and trying to maintain the existing political order when it's set to change, basically. And so some of the pictures here and videos are from these checkpoints. They show men with guns. I think there are also, yeah, other armed civilians as well. Just wild, general wildness, unfortunateness.
And we got some other photos of stuff that's going on there.
I think B57 said that most of what they're seeing online is like getting it wrong.
Looks pretty calm.
And they're especially outraged by a lot of the Westerners who are supporting Maduro because they're like they have Trump derangement syndrome, and they're like, Trump said Maduro is bad, so he's good, and his policies were good, or they're like, you know, American socialists who somehow support the regime. Yeah. Yeah.
We can't hear. Can you give her the mic?
Oh, sure. Oh, she's, yeah. If you go to the bottom of the post, that's where they cover the weird political. Likes the videos.
Sí. Esto fue el total desastre, de verdad. Sí,
claro, pero no con la partícula que trae, no lo he traído.
Car at our
they're talking in Spanish. I was listening to what they were saying.
Oh, okay.
What did they say? Wish I could translate, but
it looks like they're just checking out the damage that was done. They were kind of excited that this got this part got right here. Like, look what they did right here.
Okay. Oh, so they like the destruction happened.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what they're talking about. It's just like, look at it. Check this out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I guess it does look like there was some rioting-ish things.
Interesting.
Or I think that might be from the explosion. I think there was a bombing early in the invasion. Or the rest in, I don't know what you call it.
And she's talking too.
She's a Maduro supporter, like a loyalist.
Something about election or something?
We had an election last year.
Well, it looks pretty mad.
But a fake election. B57. Like a sham election. Or the real person that won.
They're telling her shut up. Interesting, man. What are you saying? I couldn't hear it because I have my headphones on. That's why I was telling her to give her the mic. What did she say?
Yeah, so the meme at the very bottom.
Okay,
what is it? Two ladies. Yeah. So I don't know Spanish, but it's translated in the post. Says immigrants who escape socialist countries, and then left-wing university students telling them to shut up, basically.
Yeah. Crazy stuff, man. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? I don't really. I mean, this is my first time seeing it all week. I didn't know what was going on. Keanu, you got any thoughts on all this stuff? I did want to bring up this because I found this kind of interesting. So Polymarket refuses to pay bets. Let me see if I can go through here. They refused to pay bets that U.S. would invade Venezuela. So they're disputing that the mission to capture Maduro constituted an invasion, say they will only settle a prediction contract. The U.S. military takes control of Venezuela territory. The decision by the prediction market has angered gamblers and added to the controversy surrounding a successful wager on the timing of Madeira's capture. That netted more than $400,000 in winnings for a mysterious trader. The dispute over the definition of invade highlights just one of the controversies faced by the most unregulated industry. Crazy stuff, crazy times. Place your bets. This is where we're at in America.
Okay, so that bet is still open.
No, it looks like it didn't get paid out.
Yeah, but it's still open because it...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any thoughts on this?
I don't know. It's hard to have thoughts on it without having more information. I try not to have opinions on things I don't understand. And, from what I understand, Maduro should not be in charge of a country and is, a bad person. But I also don't, that's like all second, third, fourth, fifth hand accounts of things. But I would guess that's true. I believe B-57's account of that. So that's good. Usually when you remove these people, good things don't follow because there's like a political vacuum and sometimes worse things happen while other things settle.
You should check out that.
So that's scary. I don't know. Otherwise, I don't really know. Most of my understanding or of my experience with these types of discussions involve Iran, because my dad's family is from Iran, and so, they're all Western, and they hope that the regime in Iran leaves because they want Iran to go back to what it was, which was, a fairly liberal Western country at one point, pre the Islamic Revolution. And but getting there is hard, because you have to unseat a military dictatorship that's pretty brutal, likely cause a lot of people to die and get hurt. So it's like, what is there to do? It's just, these are tricky situations, but I'm not, and I think the worst part is another country coming in and removing the dictator, I think is like probably near as bad as the dictator just staying, given that it's kind of abrupt and there's nothing to maintain the country from falling back into this similar or worse place. It's kind of like when you go on a crash diet and you lose a bunch of weight and then you like regain it immediately. That's kind of like, I think what happened in some of these situations. Ideally what you'd have happen is like within the country, there is a huge rebellion and like locals and stuff unseat Maduro and then replace him with someone who deserves to be a leader of the country.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm just like rambling about things I hardly think about. So maybe you're better served listening to someone who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, I would just say shout out B-57. He's living in communism, so.
I think it's a lady.
Oh, she's living in communism. Communism, so zap them. I don't know. Have they said it? How are they doing or anything like that? B-57?
I think they said they're cool. They said it's pretty chill. They said a lot of the stores were closed, and so there are these lines.
Yeah.
But otherwise, pretty tame. Yeah. Like, nothing crazy. I think about a week later, everything was, they said it was kind of normal, except for these things.
It kind of seemed like, based on, like, just this post right here, that the thing that was, like, more on B-57's mind that was like more driving them kind of mad was just like the social media environment around it all and like how the conversation is like captured immediately and like nothing, no good discussion really comes from it. So that's why another reason to like really appreciate these posts from B-57 who's like there and you don't get that many other places on the internet. So it's really good to have these updates.
Yeah, thank you to B-57, and stay safe. Keep your family safe. I'll keep you in my prayers, and we'll see what happens next week. Cool. So that's all the top stories this week on Snacker News Live. We're gonna jump into let's go right into Wumble's Picks. The most popular segment behind the Top Cowboy segment is Wumble's Picks. Everybody comes out for this because it's Wumble's Picks.
Maybe we should add to like Luma, we should add just Wumbo's Picks.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, it'd be.
So Wumble had a post about Graphene OS confirms physical sensor kill switch on a new phone. This was from me. I posted earlier this week because it was it's really interesting. We had some comments from one of the people that is a part of that community. But Keon, did you see this post?
I saw Wumbo picked it, so I went and looked into it. And yeah, it looks like Graphene OS is working with an Android device manufacturer and on a device specifically for graphene. And one of the things they are considering adding, I think they might have decided this already, is to add a sensor kill switch, so Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, microphone. Things like that. Did I get that right? This is your story.
So basically what's going on is they kind of got into this conversation about how most Pixels don't allow you or don't have a kill switch. They have a software kind of kill switch. And Graphene came out with their Twitter account saying that the device that does, I believe it's called the Librem, doesn't actually do it effectively. It was like badly thought out. And it's in the thing here. It was a pretty interesting take that they just kind of posted that, because I had never heard that about those phones. But and then to follow up, they said that they're possibly thinking about doing their own kill switch, but it's something that I plan for future generation. But I don't know. I definitely think that would make me feel a lot better if there was a generic kill switch on there, or like a manual kill switch on there. But outside of that, I don't know. And then here at the bottom, so finals from that community, she basically said that this was just potential ideas for future devices. They haven't confirmed such a thing. This site specifically releases sloppy articles. It's not the first time. So.
Oh, awesome.
And then Wumble's question was, you ready for it? Wumble's question was, as a consumer, should we be pushing manufacturers to add more physical cutoff switches to products? Coop.
I don't. I mean, I think it
don't
would
you
be
want this on your phone.
I think it'd be cool. I don't. You know what does it cost? What are the trade offs of them introducing a feature like that? Does it mean my iPhone is a millimeter thicker? Is that worth it? Maybe I should just like turn off my iPhone or put it in a Faraday cage if I'm really, you know.
I think having two phones is the way to go. Did you see that Klix communicator device that they had?
No.
They had like a Klix communicator that's getting released. That was just for messages and stuff like that. But yeah, more and more these are becoming surveillance devices. Or I mean, they already are, but. So I don't know. So I definitely would love to see mechanical stuff, but we were talking about it on, I forget which, oh yeah, it was this post. Yeah, It's Real Fake said he just wants a Linux phone. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly. Once like a Linux desktop that runs on a small device, is that, or like a, oh, like the operating system, like the kernel is a Linux kernel?
So. I think that's what he's saying.
Okay.
There was that other phone we were looking at that has like a really cool Linux thing to it, but I forget what that was.
Yeah, I think this also reminded me that I think there was a past video that we did that got kind of blew up on YouTube, a clip of us talking about graphene targeting other Android devices or other hardware. And I'm pretty sure this is what it was actually about. We just went off on a huge tangent that was wrong, and all the people in the comments were like, these guys have no idea what they're talking about, which is true.
People like watching that.
Yeah, they like watching people like lie to them unintentionally. And I think that's what we did. But I think what they're actually doing is they're creating their own hardware in partnership with a single manufacturer, not targeting a wide array of devices.
Yeah. I wonder who the manufacturer is.
Could be Samsung.
Yeah.
They said they had someone in a tweet thread in that article talked possibly about Samsung and how they're like close to Pixel in terms of the control I think software can have over the phone.
Cool. Well, that's Wumble's picks. Check out next week when we go back into Wumble's picks and see what he pulls out from his bag of picks. Bless you. The next one I wanted to share was the AI stuff. So this week is, what is it called? CES. And there was a ton of really interesting stuff. One of them was, of course, Boston Dynamics and their next-gen humanoid robot. And I don't know if you saw this, but check out this video.
So
they made children.
Look at this. So that's how they were before, but now Google's going to get to play with these things. And you know what Google's going to do? They're going to make them look nice, but really evil. Look at that thing. You ready for that to come deliver your Amazon packages?
Why not? Is it cheaper?
I don't know.
Is it faster?
I mean, I don't know. Probably not in the short term. Yeah. I saw some dude the other day in like downtown here. He was like, I think he was like breaking into one of those robots. I don't know what he was doing. It was just like some random guy. I don't like how many of them there
are in this simulation. You're
right. I don't like how many of them there are in the simulated future world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like robots. So there you go.
That's not the world you want right there, Jana.
Look at that. Yeah, that's a lot. That's like more robots than people.
Look at that. Like, don't you want your kids to grow up with that?
Really an invasion. It's a genocide.
You don't want your kids to grow up in that? Look at this. No? On your front lawn? Look at that. They're mowing your lawn. They're playing with their robot dogs.
That was his house. Like, there was no human there that opened the door. He was walking into his home.
It's just always fun to me whenever I see this kind of stuff. It's just like I don't know. It's just hilarious.
I don't know. I'd roll with, you know, like a robot entourage.
Like this?
Just imagine. Like just roll up to a party. You just got 10 robots. The sad thing is
you don't even see an adult here.
I mean, never go to
parties. That robot, those are probably his kids. You don't even see it.
Oh yeah, those are like the next generation where they have like skin.
They have kids as pets. Look at that. Can't unsee that once you see it. Look at that.
Oh.
Anyways. So what you have to look forward to. The next thing I wanted to share was this one here was the Angetic problem. LLMs problems. So that's because I practice this. I dropped this in Slack, but this is must see. I'm just gonna. The only reason I'm sharing this, is like must see. You have to watch this if you're in computer science. You have to watch this. This guy named Johan. He basically goes through all the different exploits for LLMs and. And it gets pretty good, man. I watched like 15 minutes of it. It goes pretty heavy. It even goes even more where he has like PDFs here and he talks about all sorts of crazy stuff, man. It's a good watch. Too hard to explain. Too long to explain. But if you're really interested in how to hack with LLMs and what's capable right now, this is definitely something you should watch. And or if you just want to know how people are going to do it to you, I would watch it. But he's a really great guy. He disclosed all of this ahead of time before he went to the talk. So I'm sure there's going to be like some CVEs. What does CVE stand for again, Guillaume?
Oh, God. What is it?
Exploit V.
I don't know. I just know it's what you put in front of bug disclosures. It's like cataloged. Anti-gravity here is connected to I would, you know, it's worth a Google.
So he's basically doing all these disclosures ahead of time before he did this talk, but it's worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch. And he's really funny when he goes through this, so it's entertaining.
He has a cat. Yeah. One of the ones that waves.
Yeah. Anyways, wanted to share that. Do you get any thoughts on that, Keon?
No, I didn't really understand what it was about. Yeah, I mean, you know, these things are powerful. And so if they're doing human-like tasks and humans, one of the tasks they do is they exploit systems, then they'll be able to exploit systems.
He also said it's like the main takeaway from this is he started off the talk like agents like clicking on links, and that's the main takeaway. So.
Oh, I see. This is about you using an LLM.
Anthropic or any
yeah, of these LLMs. And someone yeah. basically getting it to do something that you wouldn't have it do if you
yeah. were to. And he goes through the whole thing. Like, he literally goes through each attack and walks you through it. It's pretty cool. And he goes through, like, the GitHub stuff, too. But it's must watch. I'm going to watch it this weekend because it's good to know. It's good to know. So I wanted to show that to the stackers. The other stuff, let's go into your post, Keon. You had the Rumble wallet. One is one of your posts. What's this?
Yeah, so Scoresby went and checked out the Rumble wallet. They shipped this wallet, I guess, a few days ago in partnership with Tether. I think Tether gave them, I think it was like a couple $100 million. And then I guess part of that is they agreed to integrate Tether stablecoin in addition to Bitcoin payments into Rumble. And so this is their wallet. I guess it's all on chain from what I can tell. And they have you do some KYC stuff. And then I guess you still don't really get the wallet. It's still like at some kind of beta where they only release it to certain creators with a certain level of, I think, Rumble followers or something, or views. I don't know. I think, and then Scoresby later, he found some people on Twitter who had actually gotten deeper in the wallet. But that's, you know, they're, yeah, I haven't actually tried it. Or, yeah, here we go. Here's some of the actual pictures of the wallet.
Mm-hmm. So this is like just for tipping on a video that you like.
Yes, it's Rumble is like right wing, ish. Like for, yeah, uncensored. Yeah, relatively uncensored YouTube. Like politically neutral YouTube, I guess, is kind of I think what they might call themselves.
They went and built a wallet just for their creator economy, kind of, to like be sustained by crypto.
Yeah, I think so. They added this wallet, I guess, to help their creators get tipped.
Cool.
It's early. Maybe they'll figure it out eventually. Yeah. Yeah, but they clearly had not been paying attention to, I guess, other things that were happening out in the world. And they no, that's what I've heard, is that the design is pretty atrocious. But also, yeah, I guess the wallet itself is pretty bad. Like, it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. Yeah. And yeah, maybe just, you know, I think it's like a beta UI on top of a beta development kit created by Tether. And maybe it's not a beta, maybe that's the wrong word, maybe they'd call it more mature, but it's early, but cool. We get Bitcoin in something, sort of, if you would also stable coins. I think so. I think they might have gone public in a SPAC, but like the new way to go public.
All right. So the next one that you had was the, how do you pronounce that?
Dathan Ohm.
All right. There you go. What's this, Kim?
Yeah. So this is, I guess, the most mature state, or this is the farthest along we are in the Knots versus Core stuff. Dathan Ohm is proposing a soft fork. It's a lot like the previous soft fork that we've covered, where it attempts to restrict consensus rules such that data carry, like it limits like data carrying transactions by removing them as valid transactions. So this, I think he's on a second release candidate. I think he's planning on, or I think he's trying to get people to start running this. And there's just some good debate about his activation procedure and the effectiveness of what he plans to do in the soft fork. But I think some of the best comments in this thread are about the underlying like motivations and the process of activation. It's quite deep in the thread. I think not even on the first page, you have to like curse into it, but Optimism has a great comment that just, it's like very mature, maybe mature is not the right word, but just very well-informed point of view on Bitcoin and consensus. I highly recommend reading it. It's
this one right here, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like one of the things is that the activation threshold is 55%, which historically it's been 95%. And we want 95% because it's kind of bad. If 45% of miners are still mining on basically an invalid chain. And so you kind of want everyone to be signaling we're ready for this fork. And one of the things Dathan does is lower it to 55%. That's the main issue that Optimism picks out here. But there are other things. In a follow-up comment, he gets into like a technical critique of like why he thinks the soft fork is ineffective. It's like a very sober, very empathetic response to Dathan. And I thought it's just a great read and really, shows someone who really understands Bitcoin deeply, I think. And highly recommend it.
Yeah, it looks pretty long. All right. So I guess what are stackers supposed to do? Just read this and then upgrade or don't upgrade? What are we what are you recommending here?
I recommend they read the discussion and decide what they want to do. I don't have a recommendation for them. I think the general consensus, the social consensus is that all the data stuffing on chain is bad and we don't want it, but we don't know how to solve it. Or no one's proposed a solution that everyone agrees is good and is not worse than doing nothing.
So I guess what's the main thing on the argument? Are they still arguing about the same thing about the...
Yes.
Okay. Just make it
spam. True. Spam. Spam shitcoins. Spam.
And then what side does Optimism come at it? Is he just kind of saying history?
He comes out... He represents, I think, the rational, sober person's point of view, which is that, yes, data stuffing on Bitcoin is bad and we don't like it. Bitcoin is money. But no, we don't know how to prevent the data stuff on chain without causing something worse. That's
what he's basically saying. That's what he says right here, the root issue.
Yeah, I would read it if you want to understand his full point of view, but it's basically it. He calls out he thinks that we should have done nothing, that doing nothing is great. Like we shouldn't have changed the data carrier size limit. That's one example of doing nothing. And the response to us changing the best response to the data carrier size limit changing is doing nothing. And that
he's basically saying stop now.
Just like, this doesn't need to escalate. Yes, yeah. That was a mistake to change the data carrier size limits, but it's also a mistake to run a hasty soft fork because you don't like it.
I see what you're saying. Interesting. Optimism, if you're watching this, which I know you are, drop it in the comments.
I don't think he has.
No, he usually watches it live.
Sometimes he says he does. But.
So if you see this, definitely respond to what you want us to highlight here, because it sounds like it's Keon saying it's this part, I guess, the root issue. So it sounds like it's a sobering. How did you describe it right now? You said it was a non-biased, or what was the word you used?
I would guess. Yeah, I would guess it's just a. It's like. Yeah, it's just, I think he represents he's like neither side of the debate. The people who are foaming at the mouth about shit coins and data, who we know people like this, and then people who are, you know, kind of reacting to those people and are like, no, well, the truth is there's really not much you can do, and we should actually just allow the data. There's this middle ground where it's like, this is a reality of these systems that accept data, that people are going to make it look like valid transactions.
Oh, wow. So he even goes into the code too, huh?
Yeah, he's looked at the code.
Wow. There you go. Interesting. Any other comments worth highlighting here? Or
Merge came in and they looked at the activation procedure and kind of, I guess there's like a lot of historical background on that stuff. And that's usually where a lot of people get in debates around Bitcoin forks after they agree on the like changes that have social consensus, is like, how do we get it into the, like actually running on the network? And so Merge does some analysis of that. But I guess that is can be very tricky. And I'm not super well versed on it. Optimism also links to a guide, I think, written by AJ Towns about how to activate a soft fork, which I think I'd seen before, but I have not looked into. So that's where I'd go if I actually wanted to, and I should, understand these things.
He said he's watching live, by the way. So
okay, fine.
Four times in the history of the show, Car's been right. Keep count. Okay, this four is cool. times. what was I going to say? That's good. Good stuff. We'll see if Optimism chimes in here later, and we'll give them the floor to add anything, and let us know if Coop screwed up, so we can clear it up. Cool stuff. And then you had, I think that's it. Oh, I want to share some stuff. So did you see the Cloudflare stuff?
Oh, yeah. I saw all the scores. We shared that. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what happened is Italy's trying to get them to block piracy. And the CEO of Cloudflare said, not on my watch. So that's what happened there. He also thinks it's a very very great possibility that they'll say it's for piracy now, and then later it'll be because you are saying the wrong thing. So we know how slippery slope that goes. Anyways, do you got any thoughts on this? Are you pro Cloudflare now? Or are you still anti Cloudflare, Keon?
Still anti Cloudflare? Was I ever? When was I anti?
I think when I first met you, you're very.
I think this is one of the times where you're wrong in the book. I mean, you've only been right four times, so we should just. You should know that this is one of the many times, more frequent times that you're wrong.
I know you're not definitely pro Cloudflare.
I'm not, you know, I don't have any reason to be pro or against. Are you like, are you pro that man that just walked by? Like, I'm not, it's just,
I'm pro Topher.
I'm pro Topher too, but I.
Especially when he has Italian food.
Yeah, I just don't, I don't feel like I need to have an opinion on Cloudflare, so I don't have one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just thought I'd share that for the people at home.
What about the people that are not at home?
What about the people who are running around the streets, Carr?
I have nothing for them.
Oh.
Because they're not watching this.
Very telling.
Let me see here. The next one I wanted to bring up was Mockley. Did you see this? So I posted this week. I thought this was cool. Okay, so let's make a fake message. We can use Discord. Who do you want to message? You want to message Elon Musk? I know. We'll make this cube. And we'll do this.
Wow.
Elon. And then we'll make some messages here.
Oh, I'm messaging Elon. Okay.
Hey, Elon. What's up, bro? Bro. He goes, yo, cube. Yo, cube. Sick update this week. What if he did this? Sick update this week. Thanks. What socks? Boom. And then Elon goes, nice. And then you go, hey, come through. Through the lab. This week. Anyways, I think you see where this is going. And then, yeah, you just kind of do that. Isn't that pretty cool? You can be like, see ya on Friday. Or, because he's Elon, he says Fri-yay, right? He's that kind of guy.
Fri-yay.
Fri. It's like not Friday, but it's like Fri-yay. Oh, hang on. Fri-yay. That's Elon.
Fri-yay.
He's that kind of guy. See ya on Fri-yay, meaning Friday, yeah. All right. What do you think about that? That's your text message with Elon Musk.
Yeah, I never thought I'd fake text message Elon Musk, but here I am in 2026.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can even do dark mode for the people that are, you know, because Coop would have dark mode. He probably would have dark mode.
I don't know if I do have dark mode.
You wouldn't be trans.
I think I have night shifts.
Right? That one there.
Turns on at night.
You're not a status bar kind of guy, right? Yeah. And yeah, I think that looks legit.
Anyways, how do you think you'll use this other than?
No, I just wanted to show off because I thought it was pretty funny how like you can make any messages or not any. There's something you have to pay for, but you can just fake a message just like we did right now with you and Elon.
Yeah, but I mean, people have been doing this themselves for a long time, right?
Yeah, with like Photoshop and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's neat that. We make it easier to lie to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Anyways, want to share that one. And the last one is this one. This just came in through late into the day. Apparently, NASA is evacuating an alien crew member. Did you hear about this? This guy right here. That guy right there is, he's sick on the space station.
Oh, yeah, and they didn't, I guess it's, yeah, I hope he's not super sick. They didn't say what was wrong, but hopefully he doesn't have.
They basically said that when you send people up there, you don't typically come back down if you're sick. And they also said that they're supposed to do a spacewalk. So these are them right there. Isn't that crazy? That looks like a really comfortable chair, too.
What'd you say?
It looks like a really comfortable chair.
I bet it is. I bet it's pretty well padded. Probably, they might even like make them special for your body.
Oh, you think so? Yeah, I can see that. It's weird that they kind of lift off the ground like that, though, with like the steel beam in there. Is that a steel? That's probably steel, right? That here?
This yeah. Thing? Yeah. It's probably fixed in place.
This is kind of weird. I don't know why they would you just use Velcro there. Is that Velcro?
Yeah, it's because you don't have gravity, and you're not necessarily... So,
but what about when you're going up into space, though? What if you're just, like, legs just go all the way up, and you're just, like...
Well, I think the forces are really high.
So it pushes down.
Kind of. Okay.
Calm down. Calm down. Anyways, I thought it was cool. I can't hear. The thing is, I can't hear her, because she doesn't have a mic.
I think she's like here and bored, I think is what.
Oh, okay. Anyways, yeah. Do you have any remedies, pleb poet, for him who's sick?
Yeah, do you have any? You're a healer.
Yeah, this guy. He looks like, what does he look like he has right there?
The guy in the reflection or the person I'm assuming inside the helmet?
No, the guy in the reflection. He's the one that's sick. What should he do? What should he take up there? Or should we just bring him home?
Vitamin D. He's probably not getting enough sunshine.
Yeah, he does look like he has the COVID. Could be. Either that or... Very distorted image. Yeah. Anyways, this is like the movie The Martian. Anyways, that's all the stuff that we got here on Stacker News Live this week. I think that's everything, right? And then we got the zine. That's right. One more thing. Put poet, what is the zine this week?
It's another zine this week. It's got 8 pages and they're full of the top stories and the memes and the fun little doodles and drawings that you can come to expect from the zine every week. And we're looking at the cover page right there on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're looking at Siggy's story right there. I liked that. And then thank you very much, Coop, for showing it off. Oh, so something I announced in this post is the next round of subscriptions is now available. If you'd like to subscribe and receive a zine every Friday, or if you're outside the U.S. one time in bulk, then subscribe and you'll get all of January, February, and March zines, because I'm making them every week and it's super fun. You got any questions, Carr?
I do have a lot of questions. What is all this up here? Where did you get that red from and all that kind of stuff? What was the idea behind this? The front
behind what part?
The front cover.
Oh, actually, I can show you exactly where that came from. So I went to, something I love to do is to go to our public library where there is a zine collection. Oh, and cool. I was inspired and I kind of ripped off this one.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. That looks like a Fahrenheit 451 type of thing.
Sort of similar there.
Cool.
But so yeah, I went over there and that was good. I'm debating on if I should give some zines to the library.
Mm.
But
can they pay in sats, you think?
No, you just donate them.
Mm. I think it might be worth it. I mean, we have some over there if you want to grab those.
Okay. I mean, it won't, there's nothing really to be gained, except like maybe someone will happen to pick it up one day.
Yeah.
My fear is someone picks it up, doesn't like what they see inside, and then I become a target.
What do you mean become a target?
Because these zines would not necessarily be like welcome company among the types of zines that are there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Maybe make a safe for the library edition next week or something.
Okay, I'll try it. Actually, that might be a fun challenge.
Yeah.
And then I'm probably going to go every month the library has like a zine night where they like make zines. So I think I'm going to go to that and then I'll take the library safe zine over there.
Yeah, but I would, because yeah, you don't want to get flagged and then they're like, she's whatever.
Right.
Yeah, they take it down to the library or something.
But yeah, I thought this one was really fun.
Wow, you did a better job of covering the Venezuela thing than we just did. That's awesome.
Oh. Well, did you see the photo of Maduro in a bikini that got in there?
No.
Keep going down. You just passed it.
What is that? Is that a snake?
That's weird. That's slime.
Oh, okay. Oh, I passed it. You said,
"Yeah, right there."
Over here, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, this is cool. I like how you have the layout now. This is a different type of layout, huh? Yeah. Or is it just for this edition?
I guess I kind of made things look a little bit more bold, but it's not super different from. Normal, I don't think.
This the way it has like this here at the top
right, post,
and then has like this here on the side. It's really cool.
Right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Great job. This feels very much alive. This makes Stacker News feel very much alive.
Well, I'm glad it feels amazing. It's warmer.
Definitely warmer. Awesome. And then where can they go? They just click on this right here to do the seasonal sub, is that where they're just going to click on? All right, let's see. Boom, right there. Get them while they last, or 30,000 sats. 30K sats, that's pretty inexpensive. Boom, right here, and you get your January, February, and March.
Yeah, 4 zines a month for 3 months.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Great job. We're going to jump into the meta stuff. Keon, you released cross-posting this week.
I did? Yeah. So now you can post to more than one territory at a time. That's the silly, wacky stuff we're doing here on Stacker News. And, yeah, it's been cool seeing people do it. And it, like, makes sense. And, yeah.
And then Socks is continuing the WYSIWYG editor?
Socks is kind of under the influence of a virus right now. So he is... he's recovered and getting better. So we weren't able to do any editor stuff this week.
Everybody's getting that on Earth, including outer space. So sounds like it's going all over the place.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that Jeff Goldblum?
It is.
Yeah.
He did such a good job there.
Yeah, he's always pretty. Like this guy, I just saw like a clip of him. Where he's on a jumbotron or something, and like as soon as they show a picture of him on a jumbotron, he just like lights up and just starts playing to the camera. He really is one of those guys, huh? But I also heard another crazy story, where like, yeah, some other weird stuff. But we'll say that for after the show.
Who's that guy from? Oh God, Catch Me If You Can. So like
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, the other guy.
Tom Hanks.
No, the other guy.
There is no other
guy. The older guy.
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
So that's who Jeff Goldblum
reminds you of, really?
Yeah, they have a similar kind of... Shit. Their cadence is like... it's...
Yeah, no. Singularity.
Nah. Cadence? No, but they... But no, the... Like, if you have... Like, the quality of modifying cadence for effect as a style thing. Yeah, Christopher Walken also does that.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you ever see the video where Christopher Walken's like dancing and stuff? Did you ever see that?
No, but I saw the one where he's walking.
No, Christopher Walken, bro.
Wait, okay, I see what you're saying.
It's not Christopher dancing.
It's like Christopher dancing. Anyways, the other one that you had was...
podcast.
What is this one here? The auctions.
Oh, yeah.
About?
Yeah, yeah.
Confusing with all these colors.
So Scorsese is trying to make this approachable for people, but I guess at least according to you, is a little.
I'm just unfiltered, you know. I can say things.
Oh, he doesn't. Yeah, I guess it was too much text, but the gist of it is that.
Also, I'm a visual learner. I need
No, I get it.
Need images and stuff. Plus, I know on Friday you're gonna explain it to me, so I just wait, you know. Which I know you hate.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to say anything like that. I mostly just meant to explain the post which is that everything on Stacker News or the hot rank now, quote unquote Zap rank, which isn't really need its own name much anymore because
so
it's
what's the hot wait so start all over for the stackers what's the hot rank talking about the burn color or is that what you mean by hot rank?
No, hot rank is what is how the homepage is ranked.
Okay, yeah
that's like it.
So it's just sort. Normal ranking system.
Yeah,
by zaps or
well
zaps.
There's many ways to sort things and hot is one type of sort which has this timeliness to it, so okay. Things that are more recent and also popular rank higher in a hot rank.
So we're not going by Web of Trust anymore, is what you're saying.
That is one aspect of it that has been removed, is we've removed trust from ranking, and it's all based on sats. So basically posts that have more sats, either in the form of zaps from other people or boost.
Wasn't that originally how it was originally
when
you first launched it? Was it always Web of Trust?
No, it was not always Web of Trust, but it was never purely based on sats because we couldn't...
I thought when I got on there, like 21, it was just sats, wasn't it?
Well, as I'll say again, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just checking.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. We're in 25? No, we're in 26 now. Gosh, 5 years. Stacker News, huh?
Yeah, nearly. I mean, not exactly yet, but.
Well, I think he launched it, what, March?
No, I think it was June of 21 is when I launched it. And then it wasn't really a company. It was just, yeah, just kind of me.
Then when did I meet you, like in May or April?
I think it was like July, maybe August.
Oh, okay. Maybe was that when the Bitcoin conference was?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was like July, probably.
It's been a long time.
I don't think I'd launched. No. It was in, I think it was early summer or spring that year. I hadn't even launched it yet.
Yeah.
I was almost done with it. Yeah. Because I remember I went up there and I was like, I might open source it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was, so I was just at the point where it was like working.
But you had Web of Trust back then?
No.
Okay.
No. So if you want the full history of ranking, it was like sort of a normal ranking where I would like count the number of people who had zapped it. And that's how it was ranked. And then eventually that evolved
to an algo.
Based on the number of people and the amount that they zapped. And then eventually that changed to Web of Trust. And then it was Web of Trust with Sybil resistance. Like financial Sybil resistance in addition to the trust Sybil resistance. And then now we're just on financial Sybil resistance. It's basically the way to view it. Everything is based on sats.
There you go. It's right here. It's all in the details. Pretty cool. Yeah, look, more sats than Cowboy credits on this one. Interesting.
It's all kind right. of frequently how it is.
Anything down here you want to cover? What's this down here?
Oh, we're trying to. One of the things we've been wanting to do is allow things to be ranked things currently decay based on the time when the item was posted, and not when the zapping occurs. But we've been discussing for a long time, and Undisciplined has been a champion of this approach where we rank things based on when zaps occur, so that something that's old, if it gets a big zap today, possibly ends up on the front page.
Again?
Maybe again, or maybe for the first time. Maybe it was ignored the first time it was posted a year ago, and it got no zaps at all. But maybe Undisciplined or someone finds it, and they're like, man, this is great. I wish more people saw this, and they can go and zap it, and it ends up back on that front page. So you have things that are potentially a little bit older that can compete with new things. And so we're exploring ways to do that. And Simple Stacker came up with, I think, probably like the simplest approach to doing this, which is this this exponential decay.
Yeah. I feel like I usually just sort by top end. So I just go to this anyway, and I'll just go here. And I'll just do one of these, or I'll do recent, you know, that kind of. I feel like I do that anyway. So, but there was a time where I didn't do that just because I felt like this was very confusing. But maybe over the years, I've gotten used to how to use this more effectively. But other than that, I think it's fine. I don't know. Are you going to change anything now or anything more?
So I'd like to experiment with the zap based time decay. I'd also like to maybe refine the game theory around like the actions and how much they contribute to ranking. There was some discussion I had in there with Optimism about that. Another thing I'd like to do is for really banger comments to somehow end up on the front page. Like one of the, like most people I think would have missed Optimism's comment had he not put it in the saloon, or if they weren't subscribed to Optimism. And so what I'd like to do is if a comment gets a really high zap, somehow surface that among posts so that people don't miss it, because sometimes they can get really buried, and that's really where a lot of the value happens. That's like another thing I want to do ranking eventually, but I really need to work on onboarding, so I'll probably be working on that more than
because you can still sort by top comments, right?
But most people are not going deep into panels like this and knowing to look for these things. What you kind of want is the default experience to be the best experience you can give. And so surfacing high value comments on the homepage a little bit would probably be good. It also encourage people to create.
Or even inside the saloon,
I would say. I don't know how you would do that, but.
Yeah, the saloon might be okay, but I think even the saloon is kind of like mostly people who are quite frequent stackers. So you kind of want people who are lurkers to be able to find these like hidden gems.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. What is the, you want the average experience to be great, better.
Yeah.
Not the deep experience to be great and the average experience to be decent.
Yeah. Cool. Let's jump back into here. I think that's everything. Optimism did chime in. He said, watching live, P.S., that's not what Signal looks like. Laughing, which, yeah. He did say, my comment to Coop got it pretty close to what I was trying to convey. I think what bottom line I try to do is to be as non-aggressive as I can on a topic that is endlessly pisses me off, but explain why I am not supporting their soft fork, because the assertion earlier was, in quotes, you just like data and the soft fork is the best and only way to fix it, end quote. I think that not fixing it is better than the soft fork, but I also think that if we really just want to measure how many Bitcoiners slash miners support this, then this isn't so painful and it can be done without massive risk.
Yeah, Dathan had some weird things to say in that thread where it's like, I asked Bitcoiners if they like data on chain and they say no. Therefore, they support the soft fork. Like, it's like that. That's like his chain of reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they do support the soft fork. I think they oppose the soft fork and don't like data on chain. And those two things are true. So that's what I'd guess. And yeah, I think that's what Optimism is trying to help him say.
Yeah. Really interesting stuff. Yeah, it's been a busy week on Stacker News. I didn't realize. Just a lot of stuff. Got the YouTube. I guess we'll go into the most popular segment of Bitcoin outside of Wumble's Picks is the Cowboy segment. Keon, Gideon, nope.
Are you saying Wumble's Picks is competing with the Cowboy segment?
I think it definitely is. I think eventually it'll just take over the whole show. Eventually it'll just be
I don't think that day will
ever just come. Be the top. Three Wumble picks of the week, or you know, it'll just be that. We got Coop number two, Undisciplined Blockchain Boog. We are Satoshi Optimism Scores BOT Wumble. Oh, Wumble's coming up number 14.
Wow,
end of the mic. Yeah, looks like nothing has changed. Aardvark came back this week. Did you see that?
Yeah, came back strong. He said he also put on the LBs. Yeah. You will see some of his comeback as a fitness influencer.
Real Bitcoin dog he's been hanging around too.
Yeah.
Hey, how come I had swept? Oh, 2 days. Okay. It's not bad.
You put your old Thriller logo up.
Sure did, buddy. Because somebody deleted mine.
Are we going to... huh?
I said, because somebody deleted mine.
Is Thriller going to come back?
I've just been posting on there just for my own personal stuff. I mean, people like to read my stuff, Coop. I don't explain it.
Some things don't defy explanation, Carr.
I think so. That's pretty much everything here. Let's jump into the... Where is it at? Where is it at here? Oh, yeah, let's jump into the YouTube comments. So this was on the graphene one. It says, you own graphene, not going mainstream. It's privacy OS. I don't understand that comment. Vake did say, stay on Coruscant about your Darth Plagueis post. Not your post, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Coruscant's like the main Empire planet,
is that the one that Princess Leia got demolished on? Like not her planet, right?
I mean, at this point, Vake is like a Star Wars expert.
Oh, yeah, that was his post. Wasn't that his post?
Yeah, Vake was the one who reviewed
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. You were the one that was talking about it. I forgot.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm so bad with this kind of the nouns and stuff in media. I do not. But I know Coruscant sounds like one of the main.
I feel like that was the one from Return,
where the Empire is.
I feel like that was the one where they left. What's his name on? Han Solo was on Coruscant. I could be wrong. I'm sure Vic will fix this next week.
I thought it's I don't know. I actually.
And then the other one was that my favorite post last week was the cats one. Dude, that's so funny. Apparently, this person says just flexibility. I didn't know that. I learn something new every week.
Cats are flexible.
Turns out.
The more you know.
Turns out it's not just. I thought they were like, you know.
They're born with it, though.
Just like, you know. Like Lady Gaga. Yeah, maybe they are just born with it. And then Blockchain Book said Zap. Somebody else said Stay in Your Lane and Gray Ruby. There you go. That's all the comments this week. Man, I'm just out of energy. It's been a busy week, man.
I know.
I've been back and forth. It's been a good week, but it's just been super busy.
Yeah, you were here early. And
yeah, I got to be here early tomorrow again.
You're on your second Mega Red Bull.
Mega Bull. I'm Mega Bull. That's pretty much everything. Keon, what are you doing this week? Or this weekend, I should
say. This weekend. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't think there's supposed to be a protest downtown.
I saw that, yeah.
I don't know.
It's kind of stupid.
I don't know what they're protesting. Do you know?
It's never important.
Never. It's not important.
It's never important.
Yeah. So that's going on. So I'll probably walk through that.
No, it's this way. And then tomorrow it's supposed to be over there by 2nd Street.
Okay. So maybe I won't.
And then Sunday, like. You shouldn't be getting mad on Sunday anyway, but there are going to be people out there on Sunday. So it's the whole thing, man. The world is collapsing on itself, Keon. This is what happens when, you know.
I don't think
the world. It's just a weird time. But I think it's been great. I don't know. Like, it's been a good week for me, but maybe not for everybody.
Yeah.
Most weeks for me are bad. So this is a turnaround.
Oh yeah, it does sound like you've had a pretty good week. Mm-hmm. I've been you got a star every day this week so far. It looks
it's like. Hanging up right there, man. Just kidding.
What'd you say?
I said it's hanging up right there.
Oh. What are you doing this weekend?
I think I'm gonna go hang out with my friends probably tomorrow evening.
You have friends?
I have friends. Oh, normie friends.
Normie friends. Wow. What do you guys do? You guys talk about?
I haven't seen him in a while, and I think one of the guys I know, he finally got a job because he had lost his job. I think I talked about it on the show year around September.
Yeah.
Or the last time I hung out with him, and then he finally got a job. So
celebrating him getting a job?
Kind of, yeah. Because you know how hard it is out there. Or maybe you don't. The Stangers at home probably do. It's hard out there. AI is taking all your jobs. The robots are.
Oh, it was because he's in IT, or
I don't know what it. I don't know what his new title is going to be, but it's going to be interesting. Can't wait to find out.
Okay.
Well, that's it's always good to hang out with them because I get a sense of like what is going on in the world outside of my little bubble.
Yeah, it is. It is fun to check in with people who aren't, you know. I guess in our weird little. Enclave.
Yeah.
So that should be fun, Car.
What are you gonna do this weekend, Keon?
I don't think I'm gonna do much of anything. I've been doing a lot of admin, so that feels good.
What about getting your rice? Are you still cooking your rice?
I did cook rice and it does turn out like you would want it.
Did you try it with sushi or try doing sushi yet or no? Are you still
holding
on that?
I did not try to do sushi with it, but I made my own seasoned vinegar.
Vinegar. You're doing how are you doing? Are you doing like making them into little bubbles and then eating them, or like how are you doing it?
No, I was just eating them in a bowl. But you make the rice and then you add rice vinegar, which is a seasoned vinegar, which is they add a little bit of sugar and salt to it.
Yeah,
and that's basically sushi rice, and it does taste exactly.
You just haven't put fish on it yet.
I put canned sardines, which is not the same because the flavor is.
Dude, throw some sushi on there, man. I'm curious.
Yeah. I mean,
that way, because did I tell you that? You saw it earlier. I ate the guy's food. Didn't tell you. It was good.
Oh.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, you had like an egg curry, right?
I never had an egg in a curry, but we have, for the Stackers that are listening, we have a neighbor next door and he gave me his lunch. I didn't beat him up for it. He just gave it to me. It was kind of funny. He wanted me to try it.
Do you know where he...
I think he's Indian, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he might be Pakistani.
I'm a man of the people, Keon.
You are, really? Yeah, he gave you...
Yeah, he was just like, here you go. I brought this for you. I was like, wow.
Well, you're a loyal customer. And you're a gregarious man.
But you should bring some sushi.
Oh, bring sushi?
Bring some. Wait,
I didn't realize I'm a supplier now. I'm not.
I just want to try your personal chef. I want to try your rice.
Well, we could do, maybe we could do like a sushi day or something.
Yeah.
I could bring the rice and someone else brings everything.
How do you know how to do, but don't you, I thought you said you couldn't do it from Costco, the fish.
No, you can. I said the opposite. You can.
Oh.
Yeah, you just want to get farm-raised fish. Because
you just throw it on top?
Yeah, you slice it and you throw it on top.
Yeah, maybe we could do a sushi day.
Yeah, that'd be good. A sushi day.
All right, Stackers, have yourself a great weekend. Keon.
Zap.
All right.